Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues, from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 18, Don't Tell Me What to Wear, Modesty. I once heard many years ago that one of the most controversial and difficult topics for pastors to address was modesty. And this was because of all the verbal attacks he would receive if he dared tell a female anything about dressing modestly to the glory of God. So most of them wouldn't touch that subject because it is such a touchy subject and one that raises the hackles or frustration in a lot of women. To stretch it further, some don't even want other women to comment on modesty. Sudden, defensive spewing toward those who point out different perspectives can come out such as, "Stop judging me. You are being so legalistic. God wants me to walk in His freedom and not by your rule book. God only cares about my heart and not my clothes, and I suggest you do the same. Scripture doesn't address the specifics, so I really don't care about your opinion. If people look at what I have on display, that's the point of why I do it. It's their problem if a person starts having sexual thoughts toward me or their significant other gets jealous. That's their issue and not mine. You're just a prude that doesn't look as good as me. So of course you wouldn't wear a string bikini. Don't be jealous." Wow, it does get personal, doesn't it? I wonder why that is. Many would say it's no one's business but mine. Others would say the culture changes and so should we. So, well, we don't look old-fashioned and out of style. People may believe they are innocent in their motives and therefore no one should assume they are wrong by being showy with their body. It might be said, even if my intent is to show off what I've got and get attention, leave me alone. It's not your concern. Some people believe everyone has a different opinion on what is truly modest, so who's right? Who gets to decide where the line is drawn and I'm going overboard? Or perhaps some would say, there are far more important issues to focus on, so why waste time on what I wear or how little I wear? In the bigger picture of life, it doesn't matter anyway. Well, a lot of that is very understandable with some good points. In this podcast, my hope is to simply give some food for thought regarding the choice of clothing, just to carefully consider if we are truly considering what would please God in our choices. This is not about us being better or worse than others, or God loving us more or less because of our clothing. Rather, it is about loving God more than we love defending our choice of clothing because it's all about Him and not all about me. Pride in choosing to wear certain types of clothing or a lack of it because we are arrogant about boasting and putting on display for all to see how great our body is just as concerning as being prideful in our choice to not do this. Either is arrogant and prideful, which God hates. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and the perverted speech I hate. In context of this verse, the term fear, as in fear of the Lord, involves pursuing being respectful and honoring to God. It means rejecting whatever is opposed to God's holiness and instead surrendering to His ways and not ours. The bottom line of this verse is, if we truly have the fear of the Lord, respect and honor toward Him, then we will carefully consider our choices, even in the way we dress. This is not about thinking we are restricted to tight rules and regulations, nor is it about judging others if they don't fit into a perceived modesty box. Rather, it is about us assessing our own heart and motives. What is our level on wanting to please God in our choices? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought for a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In this verse, Paul is confronting the Christians at the church in Corinth about sexual immorality. Some were arguing that since bodies will die and decay, it doesn't really matter what we do with them. It's only the spirit in us that matters. Paul rejected this false belief. The idea that our bodies and how we dress them doesn't matter to God is ultimately wrong thinking. A Christian's body is where the Holy Spirit lives, and thus our bodies are not our own to do whatever we want with. He reminds us that we were bought with a price. The sacrifice Christ made for us on a cruel cross so we would have eternal life if we would have faith in the Son of God. Therefore, do we not remember we are to glorify God with our body, which is not our own to do whatever we want with? I'm not going to be addressing how long or short a woman's skirt or dress should be, or what is considered an appropriate lowness for a top or shirt, or exactly how tight a woman's apparel should or shouldn't be, or if part of her bra straps or underwear should show, or if a woman should wear a one-piece swimsuit or a dental floss bikini. I'm sorry, but yes, that's what some of them are called. Modesty is indeed a very personal choice. The question is, do we show how deeply we love God even by the clothes we wear? Or do we show we love ourselves more because we minimize the importance of our choices? It's important to ask questions and then answer them in the most honest way possible, because we need to get to know ourselves. No one can be anyone else's conscience. Rather, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts and doesn't condemn, as He helps any of us to make better choices, if need be. Here's a quote worth considering. Modesty is an attitude of respectability and decency displayed in the way a person presents themselves. They have no desire to draw undue attention to themselves. Instead, they display humility by honoring God, respecting others, and having self-control with their wardrobe. Modesty is never out of style, because the most stylish woman is the one who puts God and others above herself. Let's look at these verses and see that modesty is included in them. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 10. First of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people, for all kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed as a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and dispute. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. In these verses, we see that Paul is giving instruction to Timothy, who was overseeing the church in Ephesus. He is pointing out the importance of petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving for all people. He declares God's desire for all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and how he is our mediator between God and man. He writes that he wants men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. And then amongst all these powerful verses and topics on praying and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and not having anger or disputes, right here amongst all these important subjects, he also mentions modesty. It's very important to God because modesty is about humility. Here we have instructions through Scripture on how we are to dress discreetly with modesty. Discreetly means to control ourselves when we don't want to dress modestly with discretion. Discretion means to dress with decency, with carefulness and caution, responsibility and moderation, and with good, godly judgment. Modesty means to choose clothing that shows humility. Here are some observations for all of us. Scripture states that our choice of clothing matters. Simply put, the way we dress reflects our heart. Is it prideful or humble? Self-focused or others-focused? Worldly-centered or God-centered? How short? How low cut? How tight? How little? Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, let's not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a person's way. Paul states that we should not be passing judgment on other Christians by thinking we are better than them. But we can judge choices as we see the consequences from them. Paul is telling us we must not put anything in the way of other Christians, causing them to trip spiritually. Yes, he is saying that it is our responsibility as well as it is theirs to do what is right in the eyes of God. Paul urges Christians to not be a stumbling block because of the weaknesses of others to sin, perhaps through lust, envy, or jealousy that can lead to even more problems. We shouldn't be a part of that. But context is crucial in applying this passage. Believers cannot wield their own convictions like a club, browbeating others into conforming with their preferences. We can encourage others to consider what would honor God most of all, but we don't lord it over them. We don't want to have the modesty police attitude toward others, which doesn't display humility any more than the braggadocious dressing. Some choose godly modesty and try to live by it without being policed. They would say, I believe dressing respectfully creates others to have respect for me because I choose to dress classy instead of sleazy. They say they believe in the girl code of not flaunting what they've got in front of their friends, husbands, or boyfriends. They might have a sense of cover it up in front of their own sons or younger crowd. Some have heard older men tell their daughters, "Don't ever dress like her. Believe me when I tell you as a man that many men look at indecent dressing as meat on display. So if you don't want your self-respect eaten alive, then don't dish it out to anybody and everybody." And so these women decided to follow their father's advice. Along with not being the clothing police, it's best to stay in our lane and not dish out our opinions to those who don't want to hear it and get annoyed when we so freely speak our mind. On the other hand, if someone wants to see another side of modesty, then by all means, share with humility and kindness. Of course, any needed change in ourselves or others comes with the conviction and not the condemnation of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our helper, and our guide in all things godly. Modesty is also about not showing off riches with pride in our apparel. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. Your adornment must not be merely the external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on apparel, but it should be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. In context, the specific meaning is that Peter is not forbidding things that are worn, such as braided hair, wearing gold jewelry, and most certainly he is not forbidding putting on apparel or clothing. Rather, he is indicating the focus should be on the beautiful apparel of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious to God. This is because the beauty of a relationship with God is far above the beauty of what is worn. A gentle and quiet spirit refers to a woman that displays kindness and has learned to quiet herself with the tranquility of knowing God. This is what she concentrates on above all else, and especially above the love of what she wants to wear. And just to balance this out, being lazy or sloppy or frumpy by not caring about our appearance at all causes people to focus on that just like they do on immodest attire. Either can draw unnecessary attention to oneself. Everyone needs to personally know where that line in the sand is, or that line in their closet, in order to represent Christ well. And here's a similar verse. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or expensive apparel." Specifically, this verse was referring to how women were to dress with discreet modesty or humility and not in a self-focused, prideful way in order to impress others. So, what's wrong with braided hair? In context, we need to understand the culture of that time period, since Paul's point was not that a particular hairstyle was sinful, but rather the motive behind the hairstyle can be sinful. In the city of Ephesus, braided hair was a luxurious status symbol that required much money, time, and effort, all for the sake of bragging about their riches and beauty. This is the opposite of having modesty in our choices. Nothing wrong with a nice hairstyle if the motive is good and God is still first in the life of that woman. A beautiful, humble heart is the key. Next, Paul addresses fancy, flashy clothes and jewelry. Again, it is all about why a woman is wearing something. The culture back then is not different than ours of today regarding being humble in our choices. Let's do PAT, practical application time. Four tools to consider what we wear. First tool, reverence for God. Second tool, respect for others. Third tool, examine ourselves. Fourth tool, character and clothing. First tool, reverence for God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. All means even our choices in clothing. All we do should glorify God and not ourselves. Herein is the help in making decisions. We don't decide because of our feelings or our own personal, perhaps worldly perspectives, but rather we make choices based on the priority of glorifying God with that choice. Perhaps my choice will bring pleasure to me or others because I look good and others like looking at my goods. But Jesus told his followers, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. So it comes down to glorifying God and not ourselves. We want the light to shine on Jesus and not our bodies. Colossians 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is a similar verse to the one just mentioned. Paul is summarizing his teaching with the all-encompassing phrase, "Whatever you do," or "whatever choice you make," or "in everything you decide, make sure it is done with the remembrance of what Jesus did for us. He gave up all to glorify God and to give us eternal life. It's not about a set of clothing rules and regulations, but instead it is about surrendering our own viewpoints and desires in a way that shows gratefulness to God for what he has given us through Christ. Can we give honor to him in modesty simply because we want to love him more than we love what we want? So the bottom line is our choice of what to wear or not wear should be cemented in the loyalty to honor and glorify God in that choice. Second tool, respect for others. Romans 12, verse 3, "Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. Keep in mind the faith God has given to each of you." Paul is telling us that the choices we make in life should be based on not thinking too highly of ourselves, and thus honor our ways above God's. Paul writes that this begins with seeing ourselves as we really are. Why do we really make the choices we make, whether in clothing or in other matters? By nature, human beings inflate their beliefs above what is truly honoring to God. Instead, we defend and minimize our reasons. It's easier to say, "What's wrong with that?" than to say the hard question, which is that really right in the eyes of a holy God? Something that really helps us to grow in living our lives for God and not ourselves is understanding godly wisdom. Please see my podcast on 21 Lessons to Overcome Personal Issues, Lesson 16, Wise Up. Three different types of wisdom. One wisdom that I share is Sakal wisdom, which is seeing through the eyes of God and not through our eyes. Seeing his ways are higher than ours. Understanding choices through the lens of a perfect God instead of our own sinful, self-focused lens. This helps us to be honest with ourselves about our choices and how they affect not only our own life, but also others, either for bad or good. The best example to follow is Jesus. He surrendered his entire life to only glorify God instead of himself. To glorify God means to exalt God instead of self, to raise God's ways above ours, to advance God's kingdom instead of the world's, to promote God's higher standards instead of minimizing them, to respect God with our choices instead of dishonoring him with ours. And that's what surrendering to glorifying God is all about. Luke 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Matthew 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We can see in all these verses, Jesus' entire goal was to glorify God and not himself in everything he did. Jesus is telling us if we want to follow his focus on the eternal and not the temporal things of this world, then we must deny our own self-focused choices. Instead, we focus on surrendering to God, to his wisdom and his ways in all areas of our life. Third tool, examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. This verse gives a necessary perspective to all Christians. We are to assess accurately our choices, not minimize them, not make excuses for them, not defend them. Instead, we seriously ask ourselves if our choices pass the test of how well we know God's ways and walk in them. Do our beliefs and behavior line up with God's word and his wisdom? Or do our choices, beliefs, and behavior fail to put God first because we love ourselves and the world's ways more? To examine ourselves means we are to study and look closely at our beliefs and behavior. When we examine ourselves, we judge and question our true motives. We examine ourselves by examining the scriptures to see if we are submitting to what God desires instead of surrendering to our own wants. In the context of this verse, Paul was explaining that the Corinthians were seeking proof that Christ was speaking through him as an apostle. But the funny thing is that he instructs them to examine themselves instead. Biblical faith involves cautious skepticism in order to not be deceived by false teachers or teaching. But biblical faith also means being honest and careful about looking into our own beliefs and behavior. Are we living our lives in a deceived way? In context of this verse, Paul was specifically speaking about examining oneself spiritually, as in taking an honest look at whether one is truly a believer in Jesus, saved by grace and faith alone. But he was also specific about what goes along with being a true believer. examine the details of how you live out your faith, how you represent true Christianity. Or is it mixed with a little Christianity and a little worldliness so we confuse the world, the unsaved, and new Christians? A couple of things here. Paul is talking to true born-again Christians. He is not telling them to examine others, but he is telling them to examine their own self. Is the way they live their life the way Jesus did? It was all about God and his ways and not their own. So just a question. What does this have to do with modesty? Does modesty matter to God? We know it sure doesn't matter to the world. As we examine our own self, our own motives, our own choices, even in clothing, does it honor God at the highest level, or does it honor ourself and the ways of this world? That's how we examine ourselves. We ask the hard questions and then assess our answers in accordance to the true meaning of God's word, God's ways, and God's wisdom. Fourth tool, character and clothing. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's amazing how people put together what choice a person makes in their clothing is creating the character or lack of it they have. Clothing displays our character, so it has been said. In this verse about beauty being vain, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised, it signifies a godly woman who does not give in to vanity or wanting others to focus on her. It means her focus is on respecting and honoring God in all her choices. What is the meaning of vanity? It means having a sense of self-importance, arrogance, and egotistical attitude about her looks and a look-at-me agenda. What does being charming mean? Being charming means to be alluring, captivating, tempting, enticing, and inviting anyone to look at me, look at my beauty and my body. But God said, charm is deceitful. Being deceitful by being charming in the world's eyes means the focus on this is injurious to our testimony. It betrays God. It will eventually be disappointing because it is a false, deceptive pretense of beauty and body is important. Gaining attention through my body is important and fun is what deceits us. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, which we already addressed, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. In this verse, Peter tells godly women that their focus should be on their inner heart instead of how they adorn their body. They should develop the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, meaning they are kind and have a peaceable spirit with inner tranquility. Because this represents God well to a lost world and our brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is precious to God. The choice of apparel with the right motives, along with a gracious personality, is highly effective in their godly influence, and this is why it matters to God. It doesn't mean this woman is more loved or more valued by God. It simply means since she has put her value on representing God well with her clothing style and her attitude, it's precious to God that she put him above anything else. On the other hand, Proverbs 11:22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout, is a beautiful woman without discretion, meaning without taste or intelligence in the decisions she makes. The virtue here is what modern English speakers would call good taste or having class. The meaning being that this woman has personal awareness of what is appropriate, respectable, well-mannered, or dignified. A woman with discretion in this case is one who acts and dresses in a dignified way that shows respect to herself and others. The opposite is said to be a woman who is crude, offensive, or tacky. It's been quite interesting as I have researched the meaning of words in relation to modesty and discretion. Wow. Ending on an encouraging note, Proverbs 31, verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. To be clothed with poetically means to radiate or demonstrate dignity and strength by the choices she makes. She laughs at the future because godly character never gets old and out of date. This is what makes this woman glow with attractiveness. An older woman once put it this way. Think of Marilyn Monroe versus Mother Teresa. Think of the motives in both. This does not mean we have the same beliefs, nor does it mean we should either wear lustful clothing or the clothes of a nun. It simply means that what we wear does project a lot about what is truly important to us. And of course, these are extreme cases. Modesty is rooted in the Bible. The Old Testament describes women like Sarah, Rebecca, Abigail, and Esther as both beautiful and modest in their attitude and life. But beauty is not the point. What we do with whatever we look like is what matters, all for the glory of God and not ourselves. Let's recap the four tools to consider what to wear. First tool, reverence for God. Second tool, respect for others. Third tool, examine ourselves. Fourth tool, character and clothing. This podcast is more about taking personal responsibility to please God and how we honor and respect Him and others with our choice of what we wear or don't wear. Choices can be difficult, especially when we are growing in this area that is very sensitive to a lot of people and for understandable reasons. Perspectives are varied with the issue of modesty, but the one thing we know for sure is that God loves us and others no matter what choices are made. We might have to deal with the consequences of certain choices, if not immediately, then in the future. But that does not change God's unconditional love for us. And we want to extend that grace to others, regardless of varying viewpoints about modesty. Okay, just for fun, I was looking up various quotes on modesty. I thought you possibly might be entertained by them as I was. Some are funny and some are just plain rude and some are wise. I definitely threw out a few but kept others. So here we go with the ones I found. If you've got it, flaunt it. Make sure all eyes envy you. Isn't it fun when you look fabulous? Don't judge me, because my body is good enough to show off. Says the girl whose boyfriend or husband looks at her friend and the next girl that struts by him behind her back, because that other girl looks better than his girl. A girl in a bikini is just another girl in a bikini. And girls in bikinis come a dime a dozen after a while. They all look the same. What's eye-catching is the girl who could wear the bikini, but she looks more striking than the others because she is different. She actually has class. Why are women so offended when they are told their leggings are so tight that all their warts on their bottom are on display? If the dinky bikini fits, then buy it in every color. But is it fit for your body to be seen by young, innocent little eyes? Why force it upon them as you strut by? Your dress should be tight enough to show you are a woman and loose enough to show you are a lady with class. Sleazy? No thanks. Sloppy? No thanks on that one too. Dear females, dressing immodestly with no sense of self-respect is like rolling around in manure. Yes, you'll get attention, but mostly from pigs that feast on anything that is thrown their way. Sincerely, real men who respect respectful women. Ugh. Classy is when a woman has everything to flaunt, but chooses not to show it. When a woman dresses her body in a dignified way, she is not hiding herself from men, but rather she is revealing her dignity to them. A big shout out to all the ladies who don't need to dress half naked to get a man's attention. Just stay classy so you don't attract perverts. Being modest is the highest level of elegance in a true lady that is truly admired. Modesty is humility expressed in the way we dress. One simple truth about modesty: a woman must have her heart changed before her clothes ever will. Last one, a man that respects his woman likes it when she respects him and herself in what she chooses not to wear. It's even better when she is a modest but stylish example to her own kids. Okay, we are done with this difficult and controversial topic. Be encouraged, knowing God is refining all of us because He knows what is best. Thanks for sharing these podcasts. We are almost to the end of all 21 topics to help us have personal solutions to life and relationship situations. Please encourage those you know to listen and learn through God's Word. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.